little past 1 week since the midterm elections, and we are continuing our interviews with the folks who managed to win on Tuesday of last week. And U.S. Senator Tim Kaine was victorious in his reelection battle against the Republican Corey Stewart. And Tim Kaine joins us now live on the air. Good morning to you. Congratulations.
John, it's great to be with you. You should not play Queens, We Are the Champions. You should play the Beatles. I'm so tired. I tell you, after an election.
Did it wipe you out?
It really is the combination of physical exhaustion and mental exhaustion. Mm-hmm. You don't even realize how tired you are, and it takes about 2 or 3 weeks to kind of to rebound. But yeah. we felt great about the race, and we tried to focus an awful lot of our attention on campaigning together with House candidates and flipping 3 House seats. That also was really that was kind of the real sweet spot of the evening.
Yeah, so what is your assessment? Well, we'll start with your race. What's your 60 seconds on how this went down? Corey Stewart, really in all of the polls, I mean, other than the polls that he promoted, he didn't really ever get close to you, and watching it from a distance, it didn't seem like there was ever a body blow that he managed to land against you.
Well, it was, John, real quick, when the primary was done in June, mm-hmm. of course, we had already started our campaign in January. We had the theme of the campaign, and we kept the same theme all the way through. But when the primary was done in June, we kind of had a choice to make. There were 3 choices. I sort of thought, I'm going to win this race. I can not work hard, win by 7 or 8, and have a lot of money in the bank that mm-hmm. I'm not going to spend to start my next term. Mm-hmm. I can spend all the money really kind of tearing my opponent down and maybe win by 25 or 30. Or I can take the money and really spend it in ways that will boost the House candidates. And we decided to do the third thing. So, you know, we basically ran a very robust campaign statewide, but we really doubled and tripled in the 4 districts, the 5th, 2nd, 7th, and 10th that we were trying to pick up, and we won 3 of them. So, you know, Corey is somebody that I know pretty well, even though we'd never run against each other. You know, he's been a feature of Virginia politics and known, and we've, you know, skirmished and talked and met on local government issues going back into the mid-2000s. He said it was going to be a ruthless and vicious campaign, and he did throw some surprises my way. But at the end of the day, you know, I knew enough about him to not really be surprised. And so we felt like we were prepared for it. And I had a fantastic campaign team. Corinne Dungo, my campaign manager, and the coordinated campaign, they're just really talented people.
Well, let's talk the down ballot races. We went on Monday, we had 7 Republicans in the Congress representing Virginia with 4 Democrats. And then by Wednesday, that number had been inverted.
Yeah.
So what do you attribute that to? I mean, obviously you had money to help those candidates and you were able to go out and campaign in these districts and mobilize your base. But what else do you attribute the success to?
Well, I'd say this. I mean, it is interesting the similarities these 3 women have who won. So first, they're all women. So mm-hmm. coincidentally, each district's picking their own candidate, and they all had competitive races to be the candidate. But this is a time where women voters and women candidates and women volunteers are very, very energized. So you've got these 3 women. And the second thing that's interesting, and it may not be this way in other states, but each of these women have pretty strong security credentials. Jennifer was a prosecutor, Elaine, surface ship commander, and Abigail, CIA analyst. So in a state like Virginia, where you know, the issues of support for the military and the intelligence and diplomatic communities are strong, that was a really powerful profile that they each brought to the table. In my ads against Corey, I might have been one of the few Democrats in the country that was running ads about supporting military budgets, 355 ship Navy, and you know, so I was running a campaign that was emphasizing security themes as well. I think the Democrats have, you know, the Harry Truman style Democrat of, you know, true to Democratic values of education and civil rights, but strong on defense and safety. That's a wing of the party that may not be so prominent right now, but it needs to be prominent. And each of these 3 women, in their own way, they're kind of in that wing of the party. And I think that speaks to Virginians' concerns.
I think you presented yourself over the course of the last several months as somebody who could get things done in Washington. You never sucked up to Donald Trump, obviously, and you've been an adversary to him. But let's be honest, when we get back to January and Democrats are controlling the leadership levers in the House of Representatives, how is this going to go down? Are we just in gridlock and it's going to be complete ugliness, or is there a way to find common ground on maybe the big issues?
John, I hope so, and let me tell you how it looks right now. So I have two bills that I'm still trying to get done by year end. One, a bill with Susan Collins on Alzheimer's that would use the CDC to really expand our preparation for this big bulge of Americans who are dealing with Alzheimer's. That's bipartisan. And second, I introduced a bill the other day with Orrin Hatch, who's retiring, and he really wants to get this bill done to make some improvements to the Fair Housing Act so that landlords can't turn people away who are coming with like veterans pensions or Social Security disability income. So we're working on priorities. The president announced yesterday he would like to try to do a bipartisan prison and sentencing reform bill by the end of the year. And then as we look forward, here's what I hope the dynamic will be. I hope on the House it's less about investigations, although that's part of it. Oversight is part of it, but more about getting legislation done. They can pass legislation in the House on a simple majority vote. They send it over to us. We have to then find 60 votes for it, which means can't pass if you can't find some bipartisan compromise. So I hope the House, which in the past, say, wouldn't take up our bipartisan immigration reform bill, wouldn't take up our bipartisan bill to equalize the treatment of online retailers and brick-and-mortar retailers, I hope that the House may take up some of these bills now, increasing the minimum wage, which hadn't been done for so long. Take up these bills and send them back to us. Then the burden's on us to go out and find the bipartisan coalition to make it happen. My goal for the next term is to try to put as many bills on the president's desk as we can. He'll decide whether he likes them enough to sign them, or he's going to veto or negotiate with us about what the bill should be. But I want the next term to be about legislation. Yeah. And there's some opportunities like infrastructure. That's an area where the president should be able to work together with Democratic leaders.
And he's been critical of how a lot of that is falling apart across the country. Real quick before you go, this is not a cheap shot question. I'm actually serious about it. Do you believe that Secretary Clinton will run again or start ramping up the possibility of running again?
I do not. I saw that Mark Penn, who is an advisor in the 08 campaign, not the 16 campaign, speculated that she would, but I have no reason to think that that's the case. I mean, I saw she was interviewed and she said, would you like to be president? She said, absolutely. But she was also asked, are you going to run? And she said she sure didn't see that happening. So
You talk to her often?
I haven't talked to her recently because I've been such a monomaniac about trying to win my race. But, we have very similar groups of friends. I mean, we just had a staffer of ours who sadly died of cancer at age 30. And I did the funeral in Jacksonville with his family. And then she came down to D.C. last Saturday and did the memorial service for him in D.C. So we're still kind of in the same circles. But I don't see anything that would make me think that that she's going to run.
All right. Well, I appreciate you joining us. And congratulations again. U.S. Senator Tim Kaine, the Democrat incumbent, has been reelected to the U.S. Senate. And I hope we'll get to talk to you a lot over the coming months. Thanks.
I look forward to it. Thanks, John.
Yes, sir.